Praise the Lord. Let's get right into the message this morning. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. Actually, I've got three different verses that I'm going to read today. If you want to look them up and follow along, you're welcome. Or if you just want to listen and as I read them, you can do that as well. Continuing our study on how to lengthen your life and enlarge your life potential. Part two is God gives us the power to diminish or enlarge our life potential. And today we're going to look at how to enlarge your life potential by faithfully accepting whatever gifts and responsibilities God gives you. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And then Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then one last verse, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. Back into the Old Testament, about the middle of your Bible, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. The wise men of Matthew 2 came into the presence of the greatest man who ever lived, when he was still a baby, but they came bearing gifts. Spiritually, this verse means that the good and perfect gifts that God pours out upon us, if they are properly cared for, cultivated, shared, and prayed over, will bring the Christian, the possessor of these gifts, into the presence of the greatest men of time and eternity, and therefore give us the opportunity to expand our life potential. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today, and I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint and soften each person's heart here today, that they might not only receive the message, but be willing to apply it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The year was 1898. The setting was the Spanish-American War. It became necessary to communicate quickly with the leader of the insurgents, a man by the name of Garcia. Garcia was somewhere in the mountain vastness of Cuba, but no one knew exactly where he was. No mail or telegraph could reach him. President McKinley must secure his cooperation and quickly. What to do? Someone said to the president, there's a fellow by the name of Rowan. He will find Garcia for you if anybody can. Rowan was sent for and given a letter to be delivered to Garcia. I got two main points to the message today. If we faithfully accept our gifts and responsibilities, we have the ability to enlarge our life potential. The first thing that we're going to look at today is gifts. Our gifts. When the Holy Spirit enters the believer, he doesn't come empty-handed. He comes bearing gifts. These gifts are God-given abilities to perform certain tasks that are necessary to the body of Christ. It is the existence and the exercise of these spirit gifts or these spiritual gifts that lifts the church out of the ordinary into the extraordinary, out of the natural and into the supernatural. In fact, if the ministry of the church isn't supernatural, it's superficial. And so God has given us spirit gifts that we might operate within. Spiritual gifts is one of the most marvelous and at the same time one of the most misunderstood truths of the Bible. Paul said he didn't want us to be ignorant of spiritual gifts, but the sad truth is that many Christians are ignorant of spiritual gifts. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness and nothing less than supernatural weapons. Nothing less than supernatural gifts and workings of God will be able to suffice. Therefore, it is vital that we understand the truth about spiritual gifts. When Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, He uses a Greek word that signifies that which only can come from the power of God. Only something the Holy Spirit can give us. It's not our natural talent or abilities. It's not something that we can work up. It's something that is divinely given to us by God. Now, there are three things about these gifts. Number one, the gifts of the Spirit are salvation gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are salvation gifts. At the moment of salvation, the believer receives one or more gifts. There is no exception. Every Christian has a gift. If you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit has gifted you. He has given you a gift. These gifts are bestowed regardless of the spiritual condition of the recipient. One of the gravest errors surrounding the Spirit gifts is the idea that these gifts are given as rewards of spirituality, and that only as people are spiritual and super spiritual do they get these rewards and they get these gifts. That idea is built on the sands of speculation, not the rock of revelation. The Bible teaches just the opposite. The Bible teaches that even carnal Christians can exercise spiritual gifts. For example, look again at the Corinthian Christians. They had every gift in the book. Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 1:7 and said, "So that you come behind in no gift." They had all the gifts. There wasn't a church that was exercising any more gifts than what the Corinthian church was exercising. Yet Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Paul says, you are carnal Christian, you're walking like men. Or in other words, you're acting like lost people. You shouldn't be doing this, but you are. You're acting like lost people. And yet Paul said to them that they came behind in no gift. The proof of the Spirit's fullness is in his fruit, not in his gifts. You might speak in tongues and work miracles and win people to Christ, but if you are rude, critical, selfish, touchy, irritable, and lose your temper, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if you are here today and you are saved, you have one or more spiritual gifts. And why don't you, I'm serious right now, why don't you bow your head right now and thank God for your gift, even if you don't know what it is. Right now, just do that. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you have given me. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit differ. Romans 12:6 says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." We read in 1 Corinthians 12, to one is given a certain gift, and to another is given a certain gift, and to another is given another gift. And just as there are different members in the body of Christ, there are different in a variety of gifts. Here's another point that is often misunderstood. Some people pick out a certain gift, a gift that they like, and then they say that everybody has to have that same gift. But that's not taught in Scripture either. Diversity is the mark of God. No two snowflakes are alike. No two fingerprints are alike. Even no two blades of grass are exactly alike. God is a God of diversity. It would be a boring world if we were all the same. Variety, you know, is the spice of life, right? So God has made us different, and we're able to enjoy each other's differences. Sometimes there's personality conflicts, and we have some differences that can cause contention. But that's not the way God intended it. God intended it for us to blend together and be different. That's the way our Creator planned it. And now look at your own body, Paul says, as an illustration of this. What if all of your members were thumbs? What if every part of your body was a thumb? We'd have all chaos and confusion, wouldn't we? What if your toes were all eyes? All you would see is the inside of your socks. It's a good thing that all of the parts of the body don't do the same thing, don't function the same. God isn't the author of confusion, and He's planned and He's gifted every one of us to bring the greatest glory to Himself and the greatest good to the body of Christ. To covet somebody else's gift is to grumble against the goodness of God. So the gifts of the Spirit are salvation gifts, number one. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are not natural talents or abilities. A beautiful singing voice, for example, is not a gift of the Spirit. To be sure, it's a gift from God, but it doesn't fit the category of Spirit gifts or spiritual gifts. The abundance of ability doesn't qualify us, nor does the absence of ability disqualify us. That eliminates all boasting and assures us that God gets all of the glory and all the credit. So please don't ever measure your effectiveness for Christ by your own resources, because quite frankly, whatever you have is not enough. God is saying, I would rather do it myself through the Spirit gifts that I give you. And that way He is able to expand our life potential, because it is the power of God that is working through us to accomplish things that we could never, ever do in the natural realm. No matter who you are or no matter what you are this morning, you are a gifted person. You are a superhuman with supernatural ability. And God bestows these gifts upon you sovereignly. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, but all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. God is the distributor of these gifts. He gives these gifts as He wills, as He wants to, as they're needed. God always leaves, or always gives the best to those who leave the choice up to Him. So I would just say, Lord, thank You for the gifts that You have given me. And Lord, You want to give me more gifts? I'm open. I'm available. You choose whatever gift You want to give me, and I will thank You for it, and I will use it with Your grace to the best of my ability. The gifts of the Spirit are salvation gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural gifts. And number three, the gifts of the Spirit are service gifts. Service gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For every man's profit. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. These gifts are for practical service, not for personal satisfaction. They are not given for self-seeking and self-glory, but they are given to us so that the body of Christ might profit from them. You know what? I really believe that Jesus Christ intended for His church to be self-contained. By that I mean the church need not look to the world to stay in business or to operate. With the gifts of the Spirit operating, if everybody used their gifts the way God intended for us to use our gifts, every local church would have all that it would need to be able to fulfill the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Money, for example. If every member with the gift of giving recognizes and exercises that gift, there will always be enough to get done what God wants to have done. Conversions. If everybody with the gift of evangelism recognizes and exercises that gift, the Lord will bring to the church those who are being saved. Miracles. If those with the gift of faith would recognize and exercise that gift, the world would stand open-mouthed and wide-eyed before a power that they could no longer ignore or explain away. See, God has gifted us. It's up to us to realize what these gifts are and then begin to use them for His glory and for His honor. You are a gifted person today. And if all of us put our gifts together, we would be able to overcome any foe. We would be able to accomplish any task. We would be able to do more than we could ever imagine what we could do. You know, and I'm proud of this body of believers because we do a lot. Size of our congregation, the things that we do, it's tremendous what we are able to accomplish. But if all of us realized our gift and worked together, we could accomplish even more. At his return, Jesus will judge and reward believers according to their faithful stewardship of God's grace. And Peter tells us that the gifts of the Spirit are part of that stewardship. See, we are to be good stewards of all things that God entrusts to us. Included is our gift. We are to be good stewards of that gift. Peter tells us the gifts of the Spirit are part of that stewardship. That means that God is going to hold each of us accountable for the use of our gifts. So what a challenge it is for us to recognize that God has a spiritual gift for us and to exercise it in the power of the Spirit. Now you may be sitting here this morning and say, Pastor, I want to use my gifts. I just don't know what my gift is. Where do I begin? How do I find out what my gift is? Well, here's how you may know what your gift is. Two simple ways. Number one, by personal inclination. By that I mean, what comes natural for you? What are you good at? What do you like to do? Your desire will lie in the direction of your gift. A Christian with the gift of evangelism will want to witness and win and tell other people about Jesus. The gift of teaching will create within you a desire to study and to share truths that you learn with other people. There are all kinds of gifts, and the purpose of this is not to go into what all those gifts are, but if you're interested, I'd be happy to sometimes sit down with you and go over a list of gifts in the Bible. And you could see where your interests lie. What are you personally inclined toward? But what do you do? What do you want to do for God? Ask yourself that. What do I want to do for God? Your personal inclination is the first clue to discovering your spiritual gift, but it's not the conclusive one. Your personal inclination may be nothing more than a carnal desire God has not yet refined and purified. But that's a good start. Number one, by personal inclination. Number two, by public recognition. This involves two things. The church will use it, and God will bless it. God will see to it that you have an opportunity to exercise your gift. The important thing is this. Don't worry. Don't worry if you don't know what your gift is. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. And on the other hand, don't sit down and say, well, because I don't know what my gift is, I'm not going to do anything until God shows me. Here's the key. Just make yourself available. Just make yourself available to God. Take whatever opportunities He sends, and in the midst of serving, you will discover your spiritual gifts. In the midst of serving and helping other people, you will discover your gifts. And so we can expand our life potential through the gifts that God gives us, because they take us out of the realm of the ordinary into the extraordinary. Out of the realm of the natural into the supernatural. The second thing I want to talk to you about today is responsibilities. If we faithfully assume our gifts and responsibilities, we can expand our life potential. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But the thought here is, Esther, if you carry out your responsibility, enlargement and deliverance to the Jews will come from you. But if you don't, thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Maybe the reason you were allowed to come in as queen was because of this opportunity. This opportunity that lies before you today. So Esther, you just need to carry out your responsibility. Esther's life and work was enlarged when she carried out the responsibility God gave her to approach the king and ask for her life and the life of her people. Because there was an evil man by the name of Haman that had tricked the king into signing the decree that all the Jews would be killed on a certain day. Esther found herself as one of those people, one of those Jews. And it was very dangerous to approach the king in those days unless you were called for. And even when you approached him, if he didn't hold out the golden scepter to you, it meant your life, your neck. And so Esther had everybody pray and fast for 3 days before she approached the king. And when she did, she asked for her life to be spared and the life of her people. And God spared them and God delivered them. And according to this verse, they were expanded. Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." If we are faithful to carry out our responsibilities, God will enlarge our responsibilities, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Rowan was sent for by President McKinley, and he was given a letter to be delivered to Garcia. That fellow by the name of Rowan took the letter, sealed it up in an oilskin pouch, strapped it over his heart, and in 4 days landed by night off the coast of Cuba. Got out of an open boat, disappeared into the jungle, and in 3 weeks came out on the other side of the island, having traversed a hostile country on foot, and having delivered his letter to Garcia. Albert Hubbard penned his classic essay, A Message to Garcia. How many of you ever heard of this? A Message to Garcia? That's be new to you, most of you. He wrote this, an essay concerning this event in 1 hour after a dinner time conversation with his family. At dinner, Hubbard's son, Bert, claimed that the true hero of the Spanish-American War was Rowan, a messenger who braved death by carrying a note behind the lines to Garcia, the leader of the insurgents. The essay originally ran in Hubbard's magazine in February of 1899. Inspired by its message, George Daniels of the New York Central Railroad asked permission to reprint and distribute 500,000 copies. The director of the Russian Railways read one of Daniels' reprints and had it translated into Russian. A Message to Garcia was distributed to every one of his railroad employees. Then the Russian military picked up the ball. Each Russian soldier sent to the Japanese front was given a copy. The Japanese found the essay in the possession of the Russian prisoners and subsequently had it translated into Japanese. On an order, a copy was given to every member of the Japanese government. And it had been part of the distribution to members of the United States Navy at the brink of the First World War. Ultimately, 40 million copies of A Message to Garcia have been published. Why was this distribution? Why was this article distributed so widely? Because of the need for responsibility and character. Not many men would do what Rowan did. Not many men would take a letter when, without asking any question, go out and do his duty, do the responsible thing, and have it delivered. I want you to know today that there will always be room for a man of character. There will always be room for a woman of character. Hebrews 1:3 says this about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The words express image in that verse is one word in the Greek. And that one word is character. C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. Our word character is a transliteration. It's a copy of that Greek word. And the word character in the Greek means to be engraved, the figure stamped, an exact copy. What this passage is saying to us is that Jesus Christ is an exact copy of God the Father. There is no difference. He is his express image. There is no difference. Now, listen to me. We are being conformed into that same image. And how do we know that we are becoming like Jesus? How do we know that we are the express image of Jesus Christ? Because of that word character. As our character becomes like His, we become like Jesus Christ. By the changing of our character, we become like Jesus. By carrying out our responsibilities. Part of the essay, A Message to Garcia, that was spread so widely, reads, "The point I wish to make is this. McKinley gave Rowan a letter to be delivered to Garcia. Rowan took the letter and did not ask, 'Where is he at?' By the Eternal, there is a man whose form should be cast in deathless bronze and the statue placed in every college in the land. It is not book learning young men need, nor instruction about this or that, but a stiffening of the vertebrae, which will cause them to be loyal to a trust, to act promptly, concentrate their energies, do the thing, carry a message to Garcia. General Garcia is now dead, but there are other Garcias. No man who has endeavored to carry out an enterprise where many hands were needed, but has been well nigh appalled at times by the imbecility of the average man, the inability or unwillingness to concentrate on a thing and do it. Slipshod assistance, foolish inattention, doubty indifference, and half-hearted work seem the rule. And no man succeeds unless by hook or crook or threat he forces or bribes other men to assist him, or mayhap God in His goodness performs a miracle and sends him an angel of light for an assistance. You, reader, put this matter to a test. You are now sitting in your office. Six clerks are within your call. Summon any one of them and make this request. Please look up in the encyclopedia and make a brief memorandum for me concerning the life of Coriaggio. Will the clerk quietly say, 'Yes, sir,' and go do the task? On your life, he will not. He will look you out of a fishy eye and ask one or more of the following questions. Who is he? Which encyclopedia? Where is the encyclopedia? Was I hired for that? Don't you mean Bismarck? What's the matter with Charlie doing it? Is he dead? Is there any hurry? Can I bring you the book and have you look it up yourself? What do you want to know for? Can such a man carry a message to Garcia?" You know, as irresponsible as people are in the workplace and in the world, unfortunately, there are many irresponsible people in the church. When God gives us a task, we first question Him. We want to know why He's calling us to do it. But I want you to know today that if you are a responsible person and you just say, "Yes, Lord, I will obey," there will be room for you. And your potential will increase. Albert Hubbard also wrote on the character initiative. In closing, I'd like to read this to you. "The world bestows its big prizes, both in money and honors, for but one thing, and that is initiative. What is initiative? I'll tell you, it is doing the right thing without being told. But next to doing the thing without being told is to do it when you are told once. That's responsibility. That is to say, carry the message to Garcia. Those who can carry a message get high honors, but their pay is not always in proportion. Next, there are those who never do a thing until they are told twice. Such get no honors and small pay. Next, there are those who do the right thing only when necessity kicks them from behind, and these get indifference instead of honors and a pittance for pay. This kind spends most of its time polishing a bench with a hard luck story. Then, still lower down in the scale than this, we have the fellow who will not do the right thing even when someone goes along to show him how and stays to see that he does it. He is always out of a job and receives the contempt he deserves, unless he happens to have a rich paw, in which case destiny patiently awaits around the corner with a stuffed club. To which case do you belong?" It's not surprising that the message of Garcia was picked up by employers and leaders and handed out, copied and handed out to those in their employ. God is looking for such people in His employ who will do the responsible thing to take the message to Garcia, to take the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. to show you how important responsibility is and how it can expand your life potential, I would just like to point out to you the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi had two sons, to make a long story short. They married Moabite daughters, Ruth and Orpah. Sad, but both of the sons died, leaving Naomi's daughter-in-laws as widows. Naomi's husband also died. She thought, what am I doing here in the land of Moab? I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. And I'm going to return to my homeland. And so she made preparations to go. The girls started out with her, but Naomi said, you go back to your land. And Orpah returned home, but Ruth clave to Naomi. And she said, where you go, I will go, and your gods will be my God, and your people, my people. And she would not let Naomi go, but she clung to her. She felt a responsibility to take care of her mother-in-law. And the Bible says that Ruth became the grandmother of the great King David. Two Jewish encyclopedias tell us that Orpah became the grandmother of Goliath. Your choices affect generations to come. Your life potential is tremendous. All you need to do is the responsible thing. All you need to do is carry out the responsibilities that God has already given you. If you are faithful in those things, he will say so. You are faithful in the small things, I will give you greater responsibilities. I will give you charge over many things. How do you expand your life potential? You just faithfully carry out your responsibility. It doesn't matter if that responsibility is a big thing or not, because God uses just the little things to see if we are faithful in the little things. Every one of you here today, if you're a Christian, you're blessed because God has given you a gift. Use it for his glory. God has also given you responsibilities in the home, in the workplace, in the church, wherever. You have responsibilities. Faithfully carry out those responsibilities. You might think nobody is watching, nobody sees you do those small things. But I know there's a God in heaven who's looking. And he will reward you someday for your faithfulness. And he's the greatest person that we want to have watching anyway. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Will you use your gifts, and will you carry a message to Garcia? Would you be responsible? Very quickly here this morning, those of you that would be able to say, by God's grace, I will be a good steward of the gifts God has given me, and I will carry out my responsibilities no matter how big or small they are. Could I just see your hand? Would you raise your hand to the Lord today? Amen. Amen. You could put them down. Pray. Lord, I thank you for these hands today. I thank you for their willingness to be used. Help them, if they don't know what their gift is, to find out, to recognize it. And then, Lord, help them to be faithful in even the small things of life. And I pray, Lord, that as they are faithful, you would expand their life potential, that you would be able to give them greater opportunities and greater responsibilities. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the harvest field not ripened, there's a word for all to do. Hark the voice of God is calling to the harvest. God. a crown.